Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here Tuesday, October 26th. 2021, 10-26-21, 17 minutes past the hour, and we thank Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler for joining us in hour number one. Don't forget our big candidates night here at the station will be Thursday, starting at 7:10 p.m. going through 9 p.m. You can call the station starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday night to submit a question for your city council members and people who are running for city council. Candidates, I guess we should say, as well as city treasurer. Again, that'll be Thursday night, 7:10 until 9 p.m. on this station, and that will be live, and the Marion Star will be covering that with us here at the station. Now we turn to our monthly visit with elections right around the corner, a matter of fact, a week from today, to the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Mayor, elections are a week from today. Next Tuesday, city council up for re-election. City treasurer, there are some important issues on the ballot when it comes to renewals of bonds and things of that nature. What do you make of the upcoming election?
Well, I don't think this upcoming election is really that much different than previous elections we've seen. Excuse me, we consider this what we might call an off-year election with township trustees, school boards, village councils, and mayors, and obviously probably the biggest would be the municipal government elections taking place. Levies are always a hot topic in our community. You know, whenever schools or some of the organizations ask for new money, they tend not to be very successful, but when it comes to renewals, they oftentimes, you know, are met with success by the voters. So I think you'll see pretty much a standard municipal off-year election coming up a week from today. I think early voting is obviously very popular, very important. I think the drop box has also become an integral part of voting in the state of Ohio. I also believe that we should make it easier for people to vote. And let me just say that doesn't mean that, you know, we should make it, we need to make them fair. We need to make them secure. As far as elected officials and the registered voters, it should be easy to vote in this country with the technology that we have at our disposal.
We have recently learned how important city council can be, if we didn't know that already. With most city council seats up for grabs next week, I think Jason Schauber does not have an opponent, and the president of city council does not have an opponent. How do you see that all turning out on city council?
Well, you know, Scott, we've talked about elections before, and I normally don't mind giving predictions on the elections and the outcomes, but when it comes to these particular races, because they are so impactful to the policies of city government, and I'm so entwined in that as the head of the executive branch of Marion Municipal Government, probably am not going to give you any hard predictions. I think that there are some very good candidates out there this year, which is not really that unusual. We always have a good crop of good candidates, but some candidates are far better than other candidates on the ballots. I think it's important that institutional knowledge, especially in the time that we're living in this country, is crucial when a voter goes to the ballot box to make their choice who will represent them. excuse me, in Marion Municipal Government, because without that institutional knowledge, you just don't know what happened, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You also need to become a student of the governmental entity that you're working for, and you have to be willing to want to learn the processes that take before you know, whatever body, whether it be city council. You should have some working knowledge of Robert's Rules of Orders, because that's how we're supposed to run our meetings. You should be able to articulate yourself on the issues that are important to the voters that you will or may represent. And you should also have some financial wherewithal in yourself to understand city's finances, because our finances are far different than your household finances. You know, balancing your checkbook, as we have talked about so many times recently, is far different than reconciling the city's books. And so that's important to understand how those things work, because they don't work the way they do in your small business or in your household.
Do you think the recent unprecedented resignation of the city auditor, coming so close to the election in the city, will have any impact on the election?
Well, I think it should. I think the voters are well aware of the missteps taken by the former auditor. You know, my simple philosophy as mayor has always been, tell it first, tell it all, and tell it yourself. You know, that's the way I believe. And, you know, whether it's talking about it in the media, talking about it in groups that I meet with, or bringing it to the floor of city council, or letting the finance chair know, I think it's important that council understand what I see from my perspective as the chief executive. And, you know, certainly the things that I have brought to the attention of the public, the taxpayers, and the voters and city council have caused a great havoc in Marion Municipal Government. And it's caused a lot of consternation with a lot of folks. And it's also jeopardized our credibility with our vendors, with our other state agencies that we work with, and with the taxpayers themselves. So I think it's important to begin to restore that credibility. You know, we often use that word transparency. If you look at the literature of some of the candidates running, they'll use the term transparency. But now we have to break down, what do you actually mean by transparency? Are you just saying it because you want to, you know, it's a buzzword to get voters to pay attention to you? I mean, I understand campaign politics very well, but we heard the word transparency for the last 2 years when it came to the former auditor's office. And I will tell you, there is absolutely nothing transparent about that office. In fact, there were cover-ups that were taking place when it came to the issue of not paying the federal income tax withholdings for the city employees. We just dealt with a piece of legislation last night, $153,000 that we owe to the IRS for not paying those federal withholdings last year. And now we're talking about real costs to the taxpayers because of the misfeasance and malfeasance of the former auditor.
A mistake and not knowing something and a cover-up, I think in people's minds, are three different things. Now, you referred to that issue as a cover-up. Why was it a cover-up for the listening audience?
Well, because the not paying of the federal withholdings actually began in about June of 2020. And City Council and myself did not find out about it until late February of 2021. And so when you don't share that very important piece of information with the other institutions that you work with, whether it be the mayor's office, whether it be a city manager or city council, there was a cover-up going on, because they didn't want anybody to know that they had fouled up so much. That's a dereliction of duty when you do something like that. And the taxpayers are the ones that are going to pay in the long run. And that's why we have a $53,000 fines and penalties and fees from the IRS, which council voted on last night to pay. We didn't even know that our appeal to those fines fees was denied. And council had asked numerous times to please be kept informed of the situation. And the former auditor never did. And that is when I say there is no transparency in that office, or was no. And that is part of the cover-up. Because not getting those appeals granted right before an election certainly does not bode well for the party that was part of the cover-up.
You know, Mayor, what I hear from a lot of people is we've been hearing about the auditor for close to a year now, and things that have been going on with that office up to his resignation not too long ago, less than 2 weeks ago. And with cover-ups, with mispayments, with fines, with everything that happened, police reports, so on and so forth, there's a laundry list here. Can you just leave and there is no consequence? Is that just the way it goes?
No, unfortunately you can't. Not in the business of governing. You can't just leave and walk away from it. You know, you asked me many times over the past year, do I think he should resign? And what I said many times was, I just want him to do his job. And if he doesn't do his job, I want him to be held accountable for not doing it. Resigning and walking away, throwing in the towel, giving up, that's rather cowardly in backing out of a situation that he personally created for the taxpayers of this community. We didn't even know how big this bill was until after his resignation, when his family came out and cleared out his personal effects in his office, and then the interim auditor went in just to make sure everything was in order and found all these documents from the IRS. They were bills and invoices stating the interest that we owed on the fees that they had charged us from months ago. And then there was the final document that said that the appeals had been denied. When you have those documents and you look at the dates of those documents, that tells me that it was a cover-up, that he was unwilling to share that with the legislative branch, which he was ultimately going to have to go to for a special appropriation to pay those bills to the IRS. There was even one document that said that if we didn't pay by a certain date, that our assets could be frozen or seized. That would bring Marion Municipal Government to its knees. And I have also mentioned many times, what concerns me is what I don't know. Well, I didn't know anything about this, but the former auditor did, and he kept it a secret, and he covered it up. So no, one cannot just walk away. I'm afraid of what else that we might find out after his resignation. And he should be held accountable. And I hope and I believe that's why the Marion County Prosecutor has appointed a special prosecutor to look into these types of things, misfeasance, malfeasance, and nonfeasance, complete and utter incompetency.
What, for somebody out there listening, what would the penalty be for something like this? Do we know what the consequence would be if this is all found out to be correct?
Well, unfortunately, I don't. Those are conversations that I will have with our law director. He was out of town last night, and last week when these documents were brought to my attention by the interim auditor. The interim auditor, Martin Watts, he without question came to me and said, "Look what I found, and I think we should pay this right away," because if as you go through the appeals process with the IRS, which is the right thing to do, you still accrue interest on the penalties that they have assessed to you. Well, now the appeal was denied. So we have an opportunity for a second appeals. Not paying those penalties and applying for a second appeal wouldn't really bode well for the city of Marion. So council agreed with the interim auditor and myself that we should pay it, apply for the second appeals, and hope that we can get that $153,000 whittled down. There were also council members that felt that the former auditor should be held personally accountable for the $153,000. And apparently there is case law out there to support that. If you look at the ordinance, the appropriation ordinance that was put forward last night, in one of the, I think it was one of the whereases, it gives a website for the case law that says that the fiscal officer should be personally responsible for this huge debacle that has occurred at his own hands.
Do you believe Robert Landon should be held accountable for this personally?
Well, I think the jury is still out on that. I'd still like to have an in-depth conversation with the city law director. I do believe, and I said last night, that we have bonds. We have bonding agents as elected officials. We're required to have those by state law. And I do think that we should let his bonding agent know that we expect and would want the bond to cover some of that cost. But his bond is only $100,000. So if the bonding agent agreed with the city to cover $100,000 of the $153,000 that we're aware of right now, then where does the remaining $53,000 come from? I do not believe that the taxpayers should be on the hook for his mistakes.
When it comes to him, do we know the dates on these documents, how long they were withheld from City Council?
I saw documents dated, and I don't have them in front of me, but I saw documents dated from June, July, August, and September of this year.
So when we look at that, if he would have to pay that money, is that something City Council could try to enforce?
Well, and that was a little bit of a discussion that took place last night. And I recommended to council that when Law Director Russell returns to work mid this week, that they get with him and determine the best course of action to recovering that money and not at the expense of the taxpayers.
A big question, Mayor, about this whole thing, and now learning this morning. I don't think any of us have seen this anywhere else as of yet. But government, we always hear the term check and balance. And you have said it many times that you are not the auditor's boss. But how did all this stuff happen? Was there any check on the auditor's office?
There's very little check and balance when you get to what we call local government. Council has more check and balance over the executive branch. They do that primarily through the budgets that they provide, and they have to vote on, council votes on at the beginning of each year. You know that council had a special committee created to look into some of these issues that they have asked the state auditors to investigate during the course of their audit. But of course, we now know that that state audit hasn't even begun yet. It was just almost a week ago, I believe it was on the 15th of this month, where I had an impromptu visit from three state auditors, and they represent the GAAP division of the state auditor's office. And GAAP, and forgive me if I get this wrong, but it's Generally Accepted Accounting Principles on how government fiscal officers are supposed to run their office. And these three auditors showed up on a Friday late morning, early afternoon, I can't remember now, and they said that they wanted to have a meeting with myself and the auditor and a couple members of council as not to violate the Sunshine Law. So that means only two members of council can be represented at that meeting to discuss a plan that they have to move forward, to reconcile the books, to begin the gap portion of the city's audit so that the audit team from the state auditor's office can do their work. And they said that they will need a new and separate contract with the city of Marion. And so that'll cost additional money. We don't know how much yet. And then they said that they will need other resources that will cost the city money. Now, of course, that meeting isn't till a week from this Friday. And the former auditor is now resigned, so he will not be participating. But here again is another issue that will cost the taxpayers additional monies because he didn't do his job in accordance with the state law to begin with. And we've talked about those issues. So I don't know what the state auditors are going to say. They also said that they would be happy to present what they will be talking to myself, the interim auditor, and the two members of council on November 5th to the full body of council the following Monday or at the next available full council meeting. I asked them their timeline, and they said that they hope that they can get the books audited by March of next year.
Well, now this brings up an interesting question, because when we spoke back in September, there was thought to be a September 30th deadline for reconciling the books. Even so much, I think Martin Watts, who at that time was just working as a deputy auditor in the auditor's office, said he felt that was a deadline because of this federal money that the state has to, or the city has to apply for from the federal government to help run Marion Area Transit, Marion Senior Center, police and firefighters, and who knows where else that money goes. That deadline blew by. I talked to Martin Watts last week, and he says the books are still not done, and now we're hearing maybe March of next year. Now, how do we apply for the federal money if those books are needed to do that?
Well, we need to still, once the audit is completed, we still need to file that audit with the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. That is the key to our federal dollars, having a good audit so the feds understand that we are managing the dollars that they pass down to us are being done with the GAAP principles in mind, and that we can be trusted, that we have credibility. So we're still going to make that application whenever that audit gets done, and then we'll see what happens with the feds at that point in time.
You know, Mayor, and I just want to clear this up, and this might be a trivial issue when it comes to the resignation of the auditor at this point, but it's happened since we spoke. We spoke the night that he resigned. In that conversation, you and I went through the wording of his resignation letter at that point about when he wanted to resign, and you had consulted, I believe, the law director, and you had already appointed an interim auditor. Now, after we spoke, I believe the next day, Martin confirmed when he was in here last week that he was fired by the auditor. That did not take because he couldn't do that. But then came two additional resignation letters, and then he finally resigned effective immediately, citing a threatening phone call. What was going on that week after we spoke?
Well, it was, in my opinion, confirmed by the city law director that the first resignation was the resignation that we accepted, time stamped and dated, and we began the process of separating from the former city auditor in the same manner that we would with any employee. Whether an employee leaves in good standing or leaves under circumstances similar, hopefully never happen again, as the former auditor left under. We immediately cut off security access because, you know, many of our employees have security badges that get them into parts of city council that the public would not be allowed to go. We cut off their access with the computers that we have because we don't want a disgruntled employee coming back into the computer system and fouling things up. Things were already fouled up enough in the auditor's office. We certainly didn't want them fouled up any further. So that's the process that we followed, like we would with any other employee who separated service from the city of Marion. And I consider Deputy Auditor Watts to be the interim auditor until the Republican Party can convene and appoint a permanent replacement to fill out the remainder of this term. These are four-year terms, so there will be essentially 2 years and let's call it 2 months left on the term. Now, whether the person that they appoint is just a placeholder or that person intends to run, that remains to be seen. I understand how the process works, and that is how it should move forward. So we were very concerned with making sure that we did everything proper. We were also very concerned about the things that we didn't know about, like this bill from the IRS and the documents that date back to June, July, and August and September of this year that we found after he cleared out his office of personal effects.
What was going on when interim auditor Watts was fired the next day and then additional resignation letters were going on? What was happening there?
Well, it was like a child's circus that was taking place, and I just kind of sat back and watched it and kept in contact with the city's legal counsel, Law Director Mark Russell. I actually called the Board of Elections a couple of times and said, you know, what did he give you a resignation? Because the resignations in our positions as elected officials, you have to notify the Board of Elections, and you have to notify the political party of which you reside under, and you have to notify your employer, i.e. the city of Marion. And it was done, all three of those were done, and there aren't our names and or the entities were listed on all three resignations. But we just saw the chaos of a resignation, and I remember saying to myself, this is the same manner that he has run the auditor's office for the past 22 months. And the dust finally settled on, I believe it was the afternoon of October the 18th when we received the final resignation letter reaffirming that it was immediate. Well, of course, the city had already considered his resignation effective October the 14th at 2:39 p.m. in the afternoon. So the two subsequent resignations really didn't mean anything to the city. Now, did it mean anything to the Republican Party? Did it mean anything to the Board of Elections? I don't know.
When you look back at this, because I except from the fallout, the term of Auditor Robert Landon has ended. How do you look at that time? And now knowing things that we have learned in recent days in regard to it.
Well, you know, everything that I do in the position as the mayor of the city of Marion, it's a learning experience. This is, as we've discussed, it was a completely total experience that I have never gone through. So I will learn from this experience as the mayor. And we will at some point in the future look back and say, you know, did we do everything right? Did we cut off security access quick enough and immediate enough after the resignation that we first received? It appears that we have, but time will tell. But I think everything in life should be a learning experience, especially when you're dealing with taxpayer dollars. I've said many, many times over the past 22 months, and I will continue to say, that myself and my administration are here to help, we're here to assist, but we're not here to do the job that someone else was elected to do. In fact, I had an email come over my phone this morning where the payroll clerk had a question about the city's payroll, because payday is Friday, and it's a relatively new payroll clerk, and the current payroll clerk reached out to the former payroll clerk and had a question about something. That former payroll clerk still works in my administration and immediately got back to the current payroll clerk to give counsel and advice on what to do on the situation that she was inquiring about. So we are here to help. There are many examples of how my administration and I have been here to assist.
Mayor, we've got about 15 minutes left here, and just because I believe this is the first time anybody is hearing this who was not in attendance at last night's city council meeting, I think it bears repeating, and also anybody who's tuned in the last 20 minutes. What has been found now in the former auditor's office? What was found there that is now having an impact on the city of Marion?
Well, it's a total of $153,000 of penalties and fees and fines from the IRS for not paying last year's federal income tax withholdings for our city employees. I understand that last year's third quarter wasn't paid. Last year's fourth quarter wasn't paid. And a portion of this year's first quarter was not paid in a timely manner. It has since been paid when all this came to everybody's attention in late February, early March of this year. But this issue started in June of 2020. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. And unfortunately, I'd like to tell you that's the last thing that we'll have to deal with and clean up from the former auditor. But I suspect there's probably more to come. Unfortunately, I think that the state auditors will probably uncover other things that we're not aware of. And that is what is most concerning to me, is that the taxpayers of the city of Marion will be on the hook for these massive mistakes.
And one of those mistakes, as we mentioned earlier, was a penalty that was accrued by the IRS that was trying to be forgiven by the former auditor for the city of Marion. That was denied, but nobody knew that until he left. This was being kept in his office and not found until he left. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. It was brought to my attention approximately last Wednesday. I can't remember the exact date. I didn't write it down, but that's when then interim auditor Watts came to me with the documents, and I kind of pulled a team together and said, you know, what's going on here? And we analyzed the documents, and thank goodness so we have somebody in my administration who understands the documents from the IRS, and along with the law director at the table. And we determined that it was from the cover-up for not paying the federal withholdings from those quarters that I mentioned.
And also, there was a document in there that said that if something wasn't done, that the city's assets could have been frozen. But nobody knew anything about that.
That's correct.
And you refer to this as a cover-up because you believe, obviously, that the former auditor knew that these documents were there and did not share them with anybody.
I have no reason to believe that he did not know. It's kind of, I don't know if I want to use the word funny, but I will. It's kind of funny that these IRS documents are actually addressed to Bob Cramer. Bob Cramer has not been in office for 14 years, but that is the auditor of record that the IRS has. And, you know, we recently went through a police investigation because the former auditor thought somebody was opening up his mail, but yet these documents were addressed to Bob Cramer.
And just also, again, for the point of consequence that even though Robert Landon has resigned, explain again that there is a special prosecutor now because of some of these issues.
Yeah, and I really don't have a lot of detail. That's really the county prosecutor, Ray Grogan, who appointed the special prosecutor. I don't even have his name off the top of my head. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere. But that special prosecutor has been appointed to look into some of these issues to see if they're criminal. Of course, we know dereliction of duty can be a criminal offense. Because we had a former clerk of court from the Republican Party that resigned under disgrace and was found guilty of dereliction of duty while in office. There's also misfeasance, malfeasance, and nonfeasance. And there could be other criminal activities that I am just simply not aware of.
And just to tie a knot in this, we talked about it earlier, but there is case precedent that money that was caused by missteps by somebody like an auditor has been paid back by the person, that it falls to the person even though they might have resigned the position. And City Council talked about this to some degree last night.
Well, Council was pretty clear to me last night that the taxpayer should not be paying for this mistake, that the person that is ultimately responsible for it should be held accountable. Now, does that mean that he will personally have to pay back? I don't know, but I do believe that should be looked into and evaluated.
And at this point, you have not made a decision on if he should be held personally accountable.
Well, only because I need to have further conversations with the city law director so I have a better understanding of some of those case laws and some of the situations. You know, the state of Ohio passed I'm going to paraphrase, a Fiscal Accountability Act in, like, say, 2015, 16, 17, to hold fiscal officers accountable for their actions while they're in office. And this clearly may be a statute that the city's law director and the special prosecutor would want to take a look at this Fiscal Accountability Act to see if there is any criminal intent there.
You spoke just a few seconds ago about the clerk of courts resigning, leaving in disgrace. I would think that if you would ask Robert Landon if he resigned in disgrace, that would not be how he would characterize it. How do you characterize his resignation?
Just as chaotic as the way he ran his office.
Would you use the term disgrace?
You know, that should be left up to the voters, but clearly we had discussed, I think the last time we were on, you had asked me about his mental state, and I am not qualified to answer that question. I could only tell you that I feel as if that somebody was elected to an office that they may not have really wanted to hold, and then therefore they never really learned how to do that office. There is a learning curve with all these positions, and the less experience that you have in life, in government, in politics, and in this case, in public finance, that learning curve is even a steeper curve. But you have to want to be able to roll up your sleeves and learn how to do the job in accordance with the GAAP principles and the other laws that govern fiscal officers in the state of Ohio.
Now that Robert Landon is no longer the city auditor, for sure, the resignation letters have all came and went, I guess, as we should say, we've always talked about character, and we talk about experience in these positions. When it comes right down to it, what did you learn about Robert Landon's character throughout this whole ordeal, I guess? Because when you look at it, there was a lot of name-calling when it came to press releases, right up to the resignation letter. There was things that really had nothing to do with the city finances, like police reports, and now, as you say, covering up things that city council should have known about. That goes beyond somebody's experience. What was this man's character? What did you learn about him?
Well, I think that the position and the title was more important than actually doing the job. That's one thing that I have learned. And look, let me just say, I hope that I never called him names. I may have referred to, you know, misfeasance, malfeasance, derelictions of duties, but I never criticized him. I've heard a lot of people say he's a nice guy. I can't take that away from him, but I can just say I don't know, because I really never got a chance to know him, even though I tried with our monthly meetings that I've referred to many times. Those were as much about relationship building as it was anything else. And, you know, so he was more, in my opinion, he was more, holding the title was more important than doing the job. And I also think that doing the job is more important than holding the title. Does that mean that he was power hungry? I suppose one could come to that conclusion. I don't know. Time may tell and shed more light on that. But, you know, I didn't attack him personally. If there are those that thought I did, it wasn't my intent. I pointed out issues within his office that I felt that he was solely responsible for as the chief fiscal officer of the city of Marion, as the elected auditor. If you appoint a deputy auditor that messes up, you're still responsible for it at that level. Now, I wouldn't hold an elected official or a department head responsible for what an employee does, a frontline employee does, if they're not on the job. But if they're on the job, then yes, you do have some responsibility to take quick and decisive action to deal with whatever situation that you may be dealing with that particular employee. And we have proper protocols in place to deal with those actions. But when it happens, when they're not on city time, I have no control over that, and neither would have the former city auditor. These were things that took place in the city auditor's office dealing with city business. And that's why I think that he should be held accountable for those actions.
When does that include criminally if we find that those charges are criminal?
That'll be up to the prosecutors and the judicial system. But yes, I think he should be held accountable criminally if it rises to that level, which it may.
When we, as I say, look back on this, and this has been a long run, how have you felt as mayor? Because when the Columbus media comes down, when the newspaper writes about this, when we talk about it on the air, it's there, it's out there, the public knows about it. What is this like? What does this say about Marion? How did this hurt our reputation in any way?
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, that'll be part of my job, part of city council's job, part of the new city auditor's job, to begin to restore the credibility with the taxpayers, with our vendors, with the voters, with our partners in state agencies and federal agencies. So yes, we will collectively have to work together to restore that credibility that has been so damaged by the misfeasance and malfeasance of the former city auditor.
Being a student of history and being in local government here for a long time, can you compare this incident to anything, or is this truly unprecedented?
I can just tell you that it's unprecedented in my tenure in local municipal government. Now, have things like this happened in other local governments throughout the state? Look, the state of Ohio right now is considered one of the most corrupt governments in the country. And now we're seeing that corruption, you know, seep into local government. Every elected official whether you're local, state, or federal, should want to restore the credibility that the voters and the taxpayers have in their government. You know, you see on the evening news, there's a congressman in, I think, Missouri who's on federal charges. You know, you see on the evening news about the former president. Whether you like him or not, that destroys the credibility of our federal government. People are already skeptical of the federal government. It was easy for them to continue to erode the confidence that we have in our federal government. Now we saw it in the state government with a former state representative, former Speaker of the House. The biggest, most expensive scandal that impacts more people's lives than any in Ohio history, and the largest in the country at this point in time, and now we see it here in our local government. How do we all begin to restore that credibility? You used to have faith and confidence in your local government, and now that's been eroded.
Two quick questions here, Mayor, before we get run out of time here. The famous line from Watergate was, there's a cancer on the presidency that eventually eroded Richard Nixon's presidency. This has been brought up many, many times in many different situations when it comes to political life since then, the early 1970s. With everything that happened, the credibility, the fines, so on and so forth, in Marion government, in the Marion City government, in the last year, was there a cancer, would you call it a cancer in Marion City government?
No, I don't think I would go that far with it. There may have been a cancer in the auditor's office. I think the legislative branch of Marion Municipal Government acted accordingly. I will say that there are at least three members of City Council that did not hold the former auditor accountable for his actions. In fact, I would go as far as to say that there is one councilman that I have never heard utter one word about these issues that have been brought to the attention of the public, the taxpayers, and City Council. Hasn't uttered one word. And that leads me to believe that they're complicit in the derelictions of duties in the offices that they hold as well. But no, not a cancer on the city of Marion or the whole government of Marion. But I do believe the former cancer in the auditor's office tried to drag law enforcement into it, and that's disgraceful. And so that all those things are concerning to me.
And final question, with the election 7 days away, and I know you say you didn't want to give predictions, but being a Democrat, do you feel it'll be a good night city council-wise for Democrats because of this situation?
You know, I don't know if it'll be because of this situation or just because the Democrats have good quality candidates running. You know, I also saw something for the first time that I've never seen in Marion Municipal Government, and that is a sitting Republican councilman wholeheartedly endorsing some Democrats running for council and running for re-election. I have never seen that before, and that should say a lot to the voters when a sitting Republican can say this Democrat in the 6th Ward is one of the best council members that he has ever seen in Marion Municipal Government on City Council.
20 seconds left to go. The 6th Ward race is interesting. It's Democrat Kathy Swanger, who you just referred to, and Republican Mike Neff, who we all know is the one who has not said anything in regard to Auditor Landon. If Mike Neff should win that race, not because of Republican-Democrat, what will that say to you about the election process?
Well, look, the voters have the ultimate decision. We already know that. Elections don't always turn out the way we want them to, and sometimes the best person doesn't win.
Mayor Scott Schertzer, thank you for your time, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in the next month. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic.